You know, the children of Israel, that there were, they're estimated to be 2.5 to 3 million of the children of Israel who left Egypt, and many of the majority of them spent 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness. But yet the Lord was faithful. Their shoes didn't wear out. Amen. God took care of them. He gave them a cloud by day and a fire by night to lead them through that wilderness experience. He fed them heavenly food, miraculously fed 3 million people. He provided the water that they needed. As I said, their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. He went before them to provide protection. He was their reward, their rear guard as well. He was before them. He was behind them. He was with them in the midst of all of the that journey. And as difficult as it was, God brought them through that. It was an absolute miracle that he did that. Matter of fact, Psalm 105 says the son of the wilderness was that the Lord spread a cloud for a covering for them. That he would just bring the cloud at the right time to shelter them from the heat of the wilderness. That was the hand of God. That was the provision of the Lord. He brought them. Now, if he can bring 3 million people through that wilderness experience of 40 years, don't you think he can bring us through our trials and our problems and the things that we're up against right now? And many of you, and I don't know, this is what was on my heart this afternoon as I just made preparation for this service, and that no doubt that there would be a number of people in this service tonight. You're up against some real dark and difficult situations. You don't know the answers. You don't know what to do. You don't even know the next step to take. You don't have an answer at all in your situation. And I just feel like that from God's word that I needed to remind you here tonight that God has done some mighty things to show himself faithful to his people. And he will for you as well. He will for you tonight. Isaiah said, speaking, this is prophetic word speaking for the Lord. I will make a way in the wilderness. I will provide a highway. I will provide a way. I will make rivers in the desert. I'll sustain you in the midst of your fiery trial, whatever that it might be. I will bring. Do you know that the Lord really delights in showing his great power? He demonstrates his greatest power on behalf of his people when we are at our weakest. When we are at our desperate point where we don't know what to do, where to turn, we don't even know the next step to take. That's when God steps in and proves himself again to move. And God loves to take you in your weakest point and then show his mighty power and demonstrate his power on our behalf. Amen. And that's one of the reasons why he's given us the Word of God. When we say you need to read your Bible and get in the Word of God, it's not just an exercise, you know, in spiritual disciplines. It is that, but it's also because the Word of God is like, it's like life. It's like, it's life to your circumstance. It's hope when you need a word from God. The Word of God has answers. And the writer says that it was Paul in Corinthians that said that all these things were given as an example to you, or for examples to you, so that you could see that God is faithful. These things are all written as an example. For your admonition, the word there means to get your attention, to cause you to be aware of the fact that God has done it in the past and he can do it today. There were all these things in the scripture were written for our example, like God bringing the children of Israel through that wilderness experience. He did that to prove that he can move for you too. He did these extreme, amazing deliverances so that you could read that example in the scripture and be assured and be confident that God can work in your need, whatever that your need is. Praise God for that. His word is eternal. The Bible says it is forever settled in heaven. I read you the scripture there in Malachi 3 and verse 6 this morning in that chapter that is largely about tithes. But that scripture that says, I am the Lord, I change not. Why is that important? It's important because we have all these examples in the scripture. And it's God saying, I've done it in the past. I've done it for a complaining, murmuring, and complaining 3 million people. I brought them through the wilderness. If I can do that and keep their shoes and clothes from wearing out, if I can lead them through that experience, shade them from the sun, lead them at night, to protect them from the front and from the rear, if I can do that, I can surely take care of your problems. Amen. I am the Lord. So when you read the Word of God, it reminds you of who He is. It reminds you of His nature, His ways. It reminds you that God has certain ways and patterns that He deals in our life. And if He's done it in the past, if He's moved in the past, you can be confident. And from reading the scripture, all these examples were placed in the Word of God so that we would read them and be reassured. God has done it in the past. He'll do it now, 2014. God will move once again for you. So read the Bible. Study the Bible. Meditate on the Word of God. And ask the Lord to fill your heart and your mind with answers from the pages of the Scripture. When if you go to the Word of the Lord and you've got problems and you need an answer, as you begin to read the Word of God, the answers begin to be revealed to you. Doesn't matter where you read at. I mean, but if you're reading in the Psalms or if you're reading in the New Testament, there, God makes it alive. He quickens the Scripture to your heart, to your life, to your circumstance, and He causes you to be able to see that He's the answer. I'm the Lord, I change not. I worked for all these patriarchs. I worked for Moses. I worked for Abraham. I worked for Noah. I moved for Moses, bringing the children of Israel, and for Joshua, and for all these great kings and patriarchs, and every one of them. I worked for them. I proved myself to them. I can do that for you too. Amen. See, when you read the Word of God, you're reassured to see that. Amen. One of the favorite examples in the scripture of this is in the life of Gideon. It's in Judges chapter 6. And I don't know, this is probably as far as an Old Testament character, one that I've read through this chapter, these chapters, about the life of Gideon so many times. Because Gideon was in, and the nation of Israel was in the biggest mess, one of the biggest messes that they had ever been in. They had sinned against the Lord, and the Lord had opened the gates and said, okay, you're not going to listen to my voice, so I'm going to allow the Midianites to come down and just destroy you. Take everything you've got. And it says that they were under such a siege of the Midianites that the Midianites would just wait until their crops would start to begin to bear fruit, and their herds would begin to grow, and they would see they were just starting to flourish, and the Midianites would come down. The Bible literally says, like a swarm of grasshoppers. They would just come in, and they would just devour everything. So much was the case that the Bible says that they were very impoverished. They didn't have anything. That's what it's like if you don't have God. That's what it's like when you turn your back on the Lord. It's the most hopeless circumstance that you can imagine. And they had sinned against God and turned their back on the Lord. And the Lord had allowed them to get into this predicament of hopelessness and desperation to the point that they were impoverished. Literally, they were starving to death. They had nothing. And it's in that kind of a hopeless, dark circumstance that God many times allows the people of God to come to. And then they will finally do what Israel did in this circumstance. The Bible says in verse 6, Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Finally, they humbled themselves and they cried out to God, Lord, we're going to starve to death. Lord, we thought we knew what we were doing. We thought we could handle it and that we could make right decisions and that we could do things right, but we turned our back on you, Lord, and now here we are. Here we are, starving and hopeless and dark. Now, that's the world we live in. That's the United States of America right now. The history of our nation proves that this nation has had a long history with God and with the Word of God. There's no denying it. No matter how much revising of history that this generation tries to do, we know that America has a long history with the work of God and the mighty hand of God. Great revivals and God moving in this nation. Where are we tonight? Where are we tonight? We're in the worst circumstance that I could ever imagine. We're in the darkest times in the United States of America. Spiritually speaking, we're just bottoming out. I don't see how we could go any lower. But yet, let's wait till next week and we'll see another move in a direction that's just unbelievable. How far that we're moving away from the things of God. I don't know how long it will be before we will finally, as a nation, begin to say, Lord, our situation is hopeless and our situation is desperate. We're going to have to cry out to God and trust God once again. That really is as difficult as it would be if our nation could come to that place where people would once again fall on their face before God and begin to cry out to God for help. It would be the best thing that could ever happen. Even if it comes through tragedy and comes through hardship and sorrow and all kinds of calamities that may fall upon this nation. If God shows mercy to this nation, then no doubt that's what's next on the agenda. There are circumstances that are so harsh and so severe that finally we recognize, God, when we served you, things were so much better. So much better when we were serving you and we were honoring God and honoring the Word of God. I'm not that old, but it's in my youth it was a completely different America than we have today. Completely different America. Than the America when I was in school growing up as a young person. While there were drastic changes that were already starting to be made, there was still this bent toward God and this openness toward the things of God. And but the changes have been made and decisions have been made, and God has been pushed out of the public, and He's pushed out of every circumstance. And now even in the church, there's just a dryness and no revival and no move of the Spirit and no voice from the Lord, no word from God. And we go through a formality, and God help us at this location to not allow that to be so, that we would recognize we've got to hear the voice of God. We've got to sense His presence. We've got to have His power, His blessing, His anointing to rest upon us. We cannot make it. We will not survive without God's presence and a real move of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our families, in our church. We're going to have to get to the place like Israel did in Gideon's day, when they became finally so desperate that they cried out to the Lord. Verse 11 says, this is Judges 6 and 11. And there came an angel of the Lord that sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained under Joash the Abrazite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. That's how desperate that they had become. So desperate that instead of threshing wheat on a threshing floor at a high place, an open place where the wind could blow away the chaff, they're down in a winepress, the most filthy, dirty, horrible place to ever try to thresh out enough wheat to make a little bit of bread so that their family could survive. That's what Gideon is trying to do. And the Lord speaks to Gideon And I want you to notice what he says, and I know you're familiar with this. As I was going through this again, I noticed that when he called him a mighty man of valor, before he did, he said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." The Lord is with thee. And he was mighty because God saw the potential in his life. But it was because God was saying, "I'm with you. I'm with you. I haven't forsaken you. This is not a hopeless situation." All that Gideon could see was the hopelessness of the circumstance. He's down in a wine press trying to thresh out enough just to get enough food for his family. He's just barely eking out survival. His family and the whole nation is starving to death in the circumstance that they are in. And Gideon said, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?" Do you know what happens in a time of spiritual drought? People forget what God has done. They forget what the Lord can do. You forget about it. You forget about how that God has worked in the past, how he's moved in your life in the past. Most of us here tonight, we've got a history with God. We have a history with the things of God. God has moved for us. God has answered prayer for us. He's touched your life. He's healed your body. He's provided for you financially. He's worked in your life. You have a history with the Lord. But whenever you're facing dark, difficult, impossible situations, oh, how the enemy loves to cloud our memory and make us forget about the power of God, what God has done. And that if he did it in the past, he could do it again today. Amen. Glory to God. But where are all the miracles which our fathers told us of? Where are they at? And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, that thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" When he said, "Go this in thy might," Gideon had already just told him, "I don't have any strength. I don't even have any memory of God's power to move for me." What was the Lord saying? Again, the Lord was saying, "Go in this thy might. Have not I sent thee? Go in this might that I'm with you and that I have sent you. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to let you down. I'm not going to fail you in the circumstance that you're in right now." Gideon's still having a hard time with it. He can't remember the hand of God. He can't remember the miracles of God. It's all so cloudy. He's forgotten what God has done or can do. Notice how he sees himself. It's important that we see ourselves and our circumstance through the eyes of faith, and not through our present situation. Because if you look at your life, your needs, your circumstance, it just spells impossible. And Gideon, that's what he said. He said, this is verse 15, "Oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel?" He's really saying, "Me? Who, me? How is that possible? How could I ever save Israel?" Then he begins to give his own personal pedigree. "Lord, have you forgotten who I am?" He said, "My family is poor in Manasseh. Our family is the most impoverished family in the tribe of Manasseh. My family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." I know you've read this and went through this before, but we need to be reminded once again here tonight. When Gideon gave his own personal perspective on the situation, what he was saying was, Manasseh is the smallest tribe. My family is the poorest in the smallest tribe. And I am the least in my father's house. So what he was really saying, and no doubt was the truth, was, in all of Israel, I am the least likely to be the one. That's the way he saw himself. I'm the least in my father's house. My father's house is the poorest in the smallest tribe, Manasseh. I am the bottom. Lord, if you're going to use me to deliver Israel, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. I am the least likely to be able to do this. Do you understand tonight that God delights in taking the most impossible situation and working in that situation to show himself strong so that he receives all of the glory? Amen. Amen. He delights in taking the weakness, the inability, you know, our powerlessness. And that's the way that Gideon saw himself. I can't do it. I'm the least likely. I'm the poorest. I'm the least effective. I'm the least likely one that could ever in all of Israel. Lord, you've got the wrong guy. But the Lord says, verse 16, surely I will be with thee. It's these pronouncements of the Lord that the Lord promised him. I'm going to be with you. I have called you. I'm going to direct you. I am with you. And I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. What was he saying to him? He was saying, Gideon, if you'll just believe me, if you'll just put your trust in me, and you'll be willing to do what I'm calling you to do, you're the key. You're the one man that can turn this whole thing around. You're the one. I've chosen you, and I'm promising that I'll be with you, and you can defeat the Midianites just like one man, just because you're that one that I have chosen. If you'll just believe me, I'll do it. I'll do it. Amen. I don't know about you, but it always encourages me when I go through that as a reminder that God takes us in our greatest need, in our greatest lack, and he turns that around to give us our greatest blessing. Amen. Do you feel like you're scraping the bottom of the barrel? Do you feel like that? I'm quite confident that there are a number among us here tonight that that's how you've been feeling lately. You just feel like, Lord, I don't have one thing to offer you. I'm at the very bottom. I can't do it. I don't have the answers. I don't even know the next step to take. When you're at your lowest struggle, that's when the Lord is saying, I'm going to be with you, and I can take your lowest situation, turn your struggle around, and give you your greatest victory. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. When you don't have anything, God can show up and turn it around and give you a great victory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, how desperately we need to get a hold of faith tonight and believe God. Believe God. Believe that he's at work in your need, in your situation. Now, this example in the scripture, according to the Apostle Paul, this one and many others, but this example was given to us so we'd get a hold of it. We would make a personal application to our own lives, that we would see the Gideon in ourselves and see the hopelessness of your own situation, and that you would say, okay, God, I'll believe you. I'll believe your word. I'll trust you and take your promises and make them mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, Lord, I just pray now that you would speak to individuals that are among us in this service tonight. Because I know, Lord, that earlier today, that I really sense my spirit, Lord, that there would be desperation in the hearts of some in this meeting tonight. So, Lord, I just ask, Lord, that by your word, you would give to them hope. You would give to them confidence. Lord, that they would be reassured that you have worked in the past. You can do it again, even tonight. You can begin a work of faith, Lord, that we could be strengthened, we could be renewed in our trust in you, Lord, that you can change impossible situations. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you will work by your Holy Spirit among us in this place tonight, in Jesus' name.